God promised to send one man in this end time to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Learn about this pivotal prophecy and how it has already been fulfilled next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. The word Elijah means my God is God. There are many false gods in this world, but Elijah followed the true God. And why is his message so important to you? Well, because there is an end time Elijah that delivered a message, really the most important message on this earth. And even though he has come and gone, that the message lives on. Elijah, in this end time, came and did the work, got the message out, and then he died. But again, God promises that that message would continue. It would not stop, and you can prove that. You can prove who Elijah was, and it's all happening in this end time, just before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And when you get down to Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6, it talks about the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and it's really one of the harshest conclusions in the Bible. But it's eclipsed many times over by the good news in this same context. Let's take a look at that scripture in Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, the word curse means utter destruction. Well, the word earth actually means just inhabitants in a region. It doesn't necessarily mean what you would normally think. But the context reveals that he's talking about inhabitants here, which is members of his own congregation. And he says, now, many of them are turning away from Elijah's message in this end time. And they're going to be cursed. And what is this curse all about? Well, it's actually addressed mainly to the priests, or what we would call ministers. And he says, now, if you don't teach this message that Elijah had, you're going to lose your salvation unless you repent bitterly of what you have done. Now, that's what this book of Malachi is all about. But you can look at Malachi 4, verses 1 through 3, where it talks about those people are going to lose their salvation. There's not even going to be root or branch left. Not even a root or a branch left. Just totally obliterated from this earth. And they're sand under the feet of the saints, it says. So here we have a serious problem, and they're because they're turning away from Elijah. But then Malachi 4 and verse 4 talks about, well, okay, now you need to remember this. Remember. And that is a frightful warning in itself. You better remember what Elijah taught. First, you have to know who Elijah is. And secondly, you have to know what his message is. That is critical. The Jews always read verse 5 of Malachi 4 again after verse 6, because they think it is so harsh, they want to soften it a little bit, I think. And then they use verse 5 to conclude that book. But they want to somehow water down the chilling terror of this, but I disagree with that. The Jews on that point, God wants us to see the danger there is on this earth with all the nuclear bombs and weapons of mass destruction. He wants us to see what we're facing and why we're facing it and why we can't solve those problems and never will be able to. Only God can do that. But then God gives us this harsh conclusion, and if you start watering it down a little at a time, well, then that can spread into a greater and problem than you ever imagined. And this message is just mind-shattering. When you understand the good news, it is so motivating to the human mind. And God says in Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 and 2, that you should be able to proclaim every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Every word. So we have to be careful about words or expressions and make sure we don't, well, water down or soften the very important word of God. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So we don't want to get that leaven started. But anyhow, I want to talk to you today about Elijah and the day of the Lord. It's called the Great and Dreadful Day of the Lord. God wants a lot of emphasis on that conclusion. If you look at the Jews' history, they came back from that Babylonian captivity and restored the temple, the Restoration Temple, it's called, and that was in about 515 B.C., and the book of Malachi was written about 450 B.C. If you look at the history, Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi were called the temple prophets. Haggai and Zechariah worked with Zerubbabel and built that temple in Jerusalem again. And then, not too many years later, Malachi came along and the temple had been corrupted, and he had to correct the Jews and a lot of other people if they're paying attention to these great prophecies. And so, look, that's the history. But look, this is prophecy primarily. This is prophecy for this end time, and the temple, of course, is spiritual today. So, look, we're not talking about history here. We're talking about, really, we're talking about history in a minor way, but God says the emphasis should be on the end time Elijah and that end time great and dreadful day of the Lord when the Messiah is going to come. Just at the conclusion of that. This is not about something that happened 2,500 years ago. This is something for this end time that we're living in at this very moment. That's how up-to-date these prophecies are. And if you want to know about the future, well, you can learn that through your Bible and Bible prophecy. And you can learn today's news well ahead of everybody else. I'm telling you, God lets you know what is going on. Now, we still see some scholars that will talk about, well, this is only history, or the minor prophets are only history. They're really not even minor that in many ways. But that's what they are called. They're not as important as the major prophets. But look, that's all of those are primarily prophecy for this end time. So here we have to see this and realize that Elijah came just before this great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he has come and he's gone, and now we're looking and staring the great and dreadful day of the Lord in the face, and the very greatest event ever to occur on this earth, the coming of the Messiah. That's the good news, and that's what we have to keep our focus on. But look, if you and I take this casually, such a harsh conclusion, let's say, if you want to call it that, and it is a powerful conclusion, if we take this casually, well, we're never going to understand it. God is trying to just, with all the fervor he can muster, I suppose, trying to get us to see the importance of this to our lives and trying to get us motivated to see what it means for us today, this very moment. God always reveals these terrible events before they happened to, certainly to the people called Israel. If you don't know who Israel is, well, then we have a book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, that will explain that to you. But notice Malachi 3 and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. So here is the powerful God saying that he's coming, but he sends Elijah before him. He says it again, I'll send my messenger, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, the coming of the Messiah, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Eternal of hosts. So you see, if we know the Bible, if we really know the Bible, how could we not see when this happens? How could we not understand the importance of it? That this is all preparation, and it's all Elijah himself was preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah, and we're past Elijah. And it's more urgent now than ever. We're getting very close to this great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's what it's all about. And even Elijah came to prepare us for that and prepare the way for the Messiah. And that was quite an important role, wouldn't you say, to be preparing the way before the coming Messiah? I would certainly think so. But you have here really three parts. You have God and his message, and you have a human messenger, which was Elijah. And that work has already been done. The message was delivered. Elijah did his job. Now we have to do ours. We have to declare that same message if we want to continue the Elijah message right down to the very end of this age and the coming of God himself. Notice Malachi 2, verses 1 and 4. Here's what it says. And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you. He's talking about priests today. And he says, now this message is for God's own priests, his own ministers, as many would call them. They have a commandment to them, those ministers that actually are God's priests. And he says, now this commandment is for you, and you're going to know it. Well, how are they going to know it? Well, God is going to deliver it. And they're not going to be able to escape it, even if they try. They're going to know. And God says we really are accountable for all these things. He promises that if we really, you see, do our part, we're going to understand all this and what it means. And we're not going to want to reject it or rebel against it. We're going to want to do everything we can to obey this great and powerful and supreme message from God himself. It's just something that ought to sober the mind of every single one of us. He's going to show these ministers or priests what they have done and what a curse is on their lives if they don't repent. And he even prophesies that there's going to be a large percentage of them that don't. So what could be more terrifying than that? What could be more important than avoiding that? Avoiding the loss of your eternal life. In Malachi 2 and verse 8, it says, you have caused many to stumble at the law. Well, what do you know? They're actually leading people away from God. And if you look at verse 13 of Malachi 1, it says, you have snuffed at it. The literal means, you snort at me. See, again, the translators watered this down. They watered it down and said, well, you snort at it. No, it's not snorting at it. It's snorting at God or scorning God. That's what this is talking about. The translators, well, they just took things into their own hands and decided to change that because, well, was that it made it a little softer for them, or they wanted smooth things, and they didn't want something like this, as Isaiah said. Preach to us smooth things. But these things are not smooth. The good and the bad are really very powerful and very plain, but when you talk about the translators, well, that's really including a number of religions. And God says to ministers of his own, you snort at me. The understanding I gave you, the teaching of Elijah that I gave you, you now scorn me. Not it, but me, the great creator God. Now that's a horrifying sin. And we must understand that. He's talking about all spiritual leaders, really. And if you think that isn't taking on a serious job, you better, if you have it, you better make sure you do it right, or there's really a nightmare scenario here that you'll be facing. But this is a message about Elijah today, and it's about the coming of God today. That's what it's about. It's certainly not just for the Jews. It's for the whole world, and three nations in particular, America and Britain and Judah. The birthright nations of America and Britain and the scepter nation of Judah are called Israel today. But many times you will see those people mentioned as Judah in the Bible. So it's really the best news that we could possibly hear, because look what Elijah did. He was preparing the way for the greatest event we could ever imagine. He was preparing the way for that. And now he's already come and gone. Where does that leave us in the context of urgency? We must be urgent about this. This is real. This is God speaking. And if he brought Elijah here in that message the way he prophesied he would, he's certainly going to bring the rest of it to this earth very quickly. We must understand that. Notice Malachi 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared the Eternal spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Eternal and that thought upon his name. So God makes a special book here for some people who fear him and obey him, a little remnant of God's own people. And they fear God and fellowship a lot because they love each other and they work together. But it's a book of remembrance, not the book of life. But these are people that remembered what they were taught. They remembered. They didn't forget. Most of God's people in this end time, I'm talking spiritually, of course, but they forget God. They forsake God. And many of them are going to repent, but many of them are not. That's according to the prophecies. Then Malachi 3 and verse 18, it says, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. You can discern. You and I can discern who is wicked and who is righteous. See, if you understand what Elijah taught, you're going to know where the true God is. And you're not going to be deceived. But many people are deceived in this world. Almost the whole world is deceived. And that's the way it is, because men trust in themselves and not the great God. Malachi recorded what happened after Elijah died, and he showed that the people that Elijah taught have turned away from God, rebelled against him, and that family message that they should be getting out to the world, a family message of turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Oh, what's so great about family? Well, when the family falls apart, the nation falls apart. When the family structure collapses, so does the nation. And you know something? It's a lot more than that, because that's all a type of the very family of God or kingdom of God. It's all the same. It's the family of God. Notice Malachi 1 and verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? You see, it's about a spiritual father, but it's the foundational part of the building for human beings is to start bringing the family together, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, and have beautiful families loyal to God, looking to their spiritual father and learning to prepare for the family of God and to help God rule this earth, because men cannot solve these problems. They cannot. They've proven that over many years, many, many years of our history. So we're going to have to learn that. Mr. Armstrong often talked about the family life breaking down and many other extreme dangerous problems on this earth. He talked about them, and let me just read a little bit of this to you. I think I have time. We are living in a time of extreme danger. Television commentators broadcast it. All evidence seems to indicate it. This is from Herbert Armstrong, November 11, 1985. And he said, pollution, unprecedented crime and violence. Look at what it is today. Worse, much worse. Family life breaking down, morals in the cesspool, terrorism, local wars in Asia, the Middle East, Africa, South America. All signs point to the fact that we are living in the time of the end of the present civilization. We are living in the most tremendous days of world history, the very end time, the end of the present evil, unhappy, violent world just prior to the coming of the Messiah. Our time is now short, and it's really short now, and growing daily shorter. World troubles will mount into troubles such as never were before. We're about to see problems on this earth that this earth has never experienced before in terms of its inhabitants. Never. But there's good news. This is the world's greatest crisis, but this is the world's greatest hope, and the only hope. And God is putting it out there for us so we can always have hope. God is going to come to this earth and rule it. And He's going to use those that get this message out today and have gotten it out throughout the ages to be His first fruits, the first fruits of His harvest. This is just a small spring harvest, but the big fall harvest is coming very soon, and that's pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles. Mr. Armstrong wrote, "This is the message of the world's only and sure hope. We definitely now are at the time of the end. When the prophet Daniel says, 'None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand.'" Daniel 12 and verse 10. He talks about in Malachi 3 and verse 3 about the sons of Levi. Again, getting back to the priests and the people who are misleading God's own people. And this fills God with wrath. And He says it must be stopped. And He says they're going to be refined like gold and silver. You know how gold and silver is refined, in a fiery furnace. That is also a horrendous warning. And then he says, look, in Malachi 1 and verse 10, look, if they're not speaking the message of Elijah, if they're not delivering that message to this world, then you ought to shut the door. Shut the door of the temple or the spiritual temple. Just shut the work down. Shut the message down. It's of no value if you're not teaching what Elijah taught. I think that's a very intense and fierce message that we need to pay attention to. Well, then you can see that it talks about the remnant that feared God, the few godly in the land, or the faithful minority. You can see other translations that view uh, that talk of it that way. And God says, not just to make up my jewels, but he said, I am preparing my jewels. His own sons and own daughters. And then he says in Malachi 3 and verse 7, return unto me and I will return unto you. But they talk back to God and say, well, where should we return? They need to return to God. We all need to make sure we're following what Elijah taught us. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
In a world of increasing troubles, people are looking for hope. Request Gerald Flurry's free booklet, The God Family Vision. This vision is the only message that will fill us with hope. It is about bringing God's government and peace to the whole universe. Request The God Family Vision. God promised to send one man in this end time to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Learn about this pivotal prophecy. One man in this end time preached about building godly families that will one day change the world. The proper family structure, as ordained by God, puts the man as the head. Request Gerald Flurry's free booklet, Conspiracy Against Fatherhood, to understand why family breakdown is such a common problem today. There is a disturbing reason for the targeted attack on real men in society. Also request Gerald Flurry's free booklet on Zephaniah. Thousands of years ago, the prophet Zephaniah warned of the coming day of the Lord, God's punishment for rebellious mankind. In this end time, God's man blasts this warning message to all nations. You will also receive a free pamphlet about the fruits of God's work under the late Herbert W. Armstrong. His powerful message of hope reached millions and changed the lives of many thousands. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.